Let us pray. Speak, Lord, into our hearts and our lives this evening, that we may hear and on hearing understand, and understanding act in joyful obedience to your message. Amen. In my sermon this evening, I want to draw out three acts or movements from that account we heard from the prophet Ezekiel, and touching on the movements in our gospel story as well. The first act or movement is one of revelation. The prophet Ezekiel felt the powerful presence of the living God. Brian read to us from verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord." Reminding me of the hand of God and the Spirit of God that moved Jesus into the wilderness for those 40 days that we remember in Lent. And here the hand and the Spirit of God are upon Ezekiel. The hand and the Spirit. Two ways in which Ezekiel is moved into a position where he can receive the revelation from God, the message for God's people. Here is the tangible and the intangible aspects of the divine. The hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And he is set down in the middle of the valley, full of bones. In verse 2 we read, "He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry." The hand and the Spirit of the Lord do not take Ezekiel to a place of beauty and life. This is no mountaintop spiritual experience. Instead, he is thrust into the valley of the shadow of death. Make no bones about it. It's a pretty awful vision on this battlefield. An army slain in battlefield. We try to picture it in our minds. If it was portrayed at the cinema, it would carry an 18 certificate. It's a gruesome scene. Picturing the desolation, picturing, mirroring the desolation of Israel. Continuing verse 11, "The Lord said to Ezekiel, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.'" It's a picture of physical death and destruction, of defeat and despair. And when we think about it, this picture is not that unreal for us in our modern world. History has repeated this scene time and again. In literal terms, this valley could be the Somme, or Auschwitz, or Cambodia, or any scene where a terrorist has exploded their bomb. This can be any modern day killing field. And although we might not have witnessed such a scene personally, we know there are times in our life when we have walked or will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where there have been feelings of defeat, of dryness, hope in ruins, when we're left with only the reminders of a past that is gone. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. Maybe in regret or pity you have picked over the bones of the past. Maybe like Ezekiel, you have felt the hand of God upon you and the Spirit of the Lord upon you, even in that place. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. More often than not, thankfully, we are led through greener pastures. But this reminds us that sometimes the hand and the Spirit of the Lord lead us through such valleys, places where beauty and life are absent, where we weep and we mourn. And yet, the hand and the Spirit of God Himself is mysteriously present. The cross confirms that this is true. God said to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" He answered, "O Lord God, You know." Ezekiel heard the word of the Lord. The revelation of God is now heard as well as seen. God poses a question, drawing forth faith. Can these bones live again? God knows, is Ezekiel's response. Both the question and the answer reflect the hopelessness of the situation. Nothing but an amazing work of God and His Spirit can transform the situation. But here, as in many places through the Bible, God will use His human messenger as His instrument. Verse 4, prophesy to these bones, God tells Ezekiel. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and to cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel heard the word of the Lord, was faithful and obedient to his word, spoke forth. He prophesied. He did as he was commanded. And we're told in verse 7, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, the bones coming together, bone to bone. This scene of death was ready to be transformed into a scene of life. Our gospel tells a similar story of restoration. Like Ezekiel, we see the divine presence drawing forth faith. Of her brother Lazarus, Martha declares, "I know he will rise again on the last day." And then she hears that great proclamation of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe it? "Yes, Lord, I believe." Faith is drawn out. Faith is established. Faith is key to what happens next. That scene of death, the tomb of Lazarus, was ready to become transformed. So we see how the Holy Spirit's work of revelation in vision and word precedes what happens next, the work of restoration. Are we open to God's revelation in word and in vision? So that brings us to the second act, from revelation to restoration. The prophet prophesied and caused a stir, as prophets do then and now. The dead are rattled, the bones come together, and the dismembered are remembered. That's an interesting take on the word remembered. The dead bones are not forgotten about, cast aside, but they are seen as the very building blocks of a new creation. They are remembered in both senses of the word. This tells us that in God's work of restoration, God takes what is there. God takes our dryness, our deadness, our hurts, the battle scars of our past. All within that severs and dismembers the scattered forces of our soul. God takes all that and values it, and it becomes the very DNA, the building blocks of a new creation. And we are remembered and we are restored by the Spirit. And in Lent and in bread and wine tonight, we are reminded that this work of restoration was wrought only by the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ that was spilt, as his body was broken and then restored, remembered. Of course, we are not passive in that. We work with God and with his Spirit in bringing about that work of restoration. With the help of the carpenter's son, we are being transformed into a new creation. Revelation, restoration, and finally, the third movement, renewal, as the breath, the Spirit of God, gives life. They came together, that great army. But a further prophecy was needed. Verse 12, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Ezekiel had to prophesy to that people. Without the breath of the Holy Spirit, we are life like that lifeless multitude, simply statues, an imitation of the life God has for his people. A statue of John Lennon was created and placed at Liverpool Airport. Yoko Ono was pleased with the statue because it portrayed John in a striding pose, indicating movement and life. But however lifelike, the statue only gives the appearance of movement and life, whereas the Holy Spirit gives life itself. And so Jesus spoke that word of power and life over Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Hands and feet bound in grave clothes. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So it is. The people of God are not just to indicate movement and life like statues. No, the Spirit of God unbinds us, untangles us from all that would hold us back and hinder us and lets us go. That's the work of the Spirit in us. Like Ezekiel and Lazarus, we have the Spirit of God. We are his chosen messengers, his witnesses. We are empowered to bring this good news of revelation, restoration, and renewal to our town, to our church. So let us be open to God's revelation in vision and in word. When we're in the valley places of despair and devastation, let us know the hand and the Spirit of God are upon us. He's not finished with us yet. He remembers what has been broken. And then let us be open to the Spirit's renewal, bringing movement and life to the people of God, here and now. Amen.